Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another Lions victory Monday. Welcome in. Good morning. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. John, doesn't matter that it's raining. Doesn't matter that it's on the road. Doesn't matter that Green Bay's a 6-win competitive football team. The Lions take care of business.
They did everything they had to do to give themselves the best chance to win. And it was, I think the biggest thing was the right shoes, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Dan said. He had to have the right shoes. And I know I was listening to the pregame show. He reiterated that when asked about what's the biggest thing. This was Dan. He said the same thing. Like, those are the details that I know everybody looks at. And when Dan says it, right, there's still this bit of comedy, right? He's a meathead. I'm a meathead. You're not.
And, but I get it. I appreciate it.
But that is a detail that mattered yesterday. Now, did it decide the game? No. Could it have been a factor? Sure. We saw it with Green Bay. It was an issue. It was an issue with everybody out there. But Jared Goff going with the gloves, throwing it, and you saw he was feeling it out in the first couple of throws. That first pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown was a little bit behind him. It felt tentative. And at that point, I'm kind of like, ooh, I don't like the way this looks or feels. Everybody's got to play in the same conditions. But it was his ability to be a chameleon, to adapt to what was going on and continue to get better throughout the game.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that is what this team has done. Like, Dan Campbell has this meathead persona, but the reality is their attention to detail, they're ready for all these situations, the different teams that they've played, the different adversity that they've faced, and yet they always seem to have the right mentality, the right approach. They're ready, they're prepared, and they execute on game day, which is a direct reflection of coaching. You mentioned chameleons. Jared Goff outdoors, he's got the gloves, couple throws or fluttering or whatever, starts 11 for 11. No catastrophic mistakes. Got them where they needed to be, made the right checks at the line, quarterbacked them to a win, and he talked about the fact that they can change who they are based on the opponent. First couple games, I feel like the defense helped them, right? About a month after that, it was all offense. Special teams against the Titans. And this one, it was more about, they didn't have a 500-yard day of offense. It was about doing the little things and avoiding the mistakes that Green Bay made. A pick six, a bunch of drops, a bunch of penalties, snaps that they couldn't execute that really hurt Green Bay. Detroit played a clean game despite all of the rain.
Oh, and one of the things I mentioned last week, it was new center, because we didn't know if their center was going to be able to be played. And all of a sudden, now you get a new center. You get a quarterback that's a little bit gimpy. Mm-hmm. And that played a factor in that game. Frank, as our center, he's been in that situation. He's played in that situation. He knows what it feels like, looks like. He knows the adjustments he has to make. Didn't have that issue. And when you hear that audio from Goff, I think he is using the team as a deflector. It's more, they tell me I can't play outdoors, that I'm only good in a dome. I'm only good when the weather is perfect. And he has gone time and time again over the last 3 years and shown that, he is a guy that could play outside. He could play in the cold. And did he have his best game? Was it, last year in Chicago? No. And did he have his, best game and his best stuff when they beat Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' last game at Lambeau Field? No, but he did what he had to do to win that game. Obviously, they didn't win that one, or they did win that one in Chicago, was the one here. But he has done a good job of understanding his deficiencies, working on those, improving on those, and then adding them to what he does really well. And you look at his numbers, and this is where I think this team has really grown, and it's because of the leadership of Jared Goff. 18 of 22, and at one point they were talking about he had thrown 10 passes, no incompletions.
Yeah.
In that type of environment, 145 yards. And you look at his numbers against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee was a little bit of a different story because it was always short fields. He doesn't care about the numbers. The only number he cares about is the win. They're 7-1 right now, and no interceptions, no turnovers. That's the biggest thing in every single football game. If you win the turnover battle, you are going to have the odds say you're going to win that game.
Yeah, listen, he's not squawking. He's deflecting to the team, and it's what a leader does, right? And I think he knows if he had to throw it 39 times like Jordan Love did,
sure,
it might not have gone his way. And it's a little bit of a humble approach to it, too, to not go, look what I did, look what I did. Jared, you threw for 145 yards. I think he's aware of how he needs to play to win in a given week. And sometimes it's taking a four-yard play or a five-yard play and just moving the sticks and keeping them in the right set and maybe checking to a run on a third down and letting the running backs do what they do.
But nobody is saying that offensive line can't play when the field conditions are tough.
No.
Nobody is saying that Kirby Joseph, he can't cover, or Terrion Arnold, even as a rookie, can't cover when the weather is tough.
They're talking about Goff.
They're talking about Goff.
Yeah.
Something I like that Goff did yesterday was I thought a couple times he got rid of the ball quick and just
threw it away.
Yep. And I don't think, I really noticed two plays yesterday where he did that. Just, and I think he did that because of the conditions. It's not worth it.
One of them was third down inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, and I saw that, like, the hit he took on that, but it is what it is.
But put it side by side with the other quarterback who makes the mistake of the game, channeling Will Levis or whatever the hell that was from Jordan Love. Just, oops, little flip over to the safety.
Yeah.
And, John, that did change the entire football game. At that time, it's still one score. He takes it, makes it two scores, and now you know Green Bay in the elements are going to throw it 39 times in this game. And what happened? They had drops. They had problems snapping the football. They're in the shotgun. They're down two scores. And I loved it because, hey, the Lions are down one potential all-pro safety. Don't worry. The other one will just step up and house it. Game. Ball game.
Yep.
Completely altered the course of that football game, and it's because of the mistake Love made, not just throwing the ball out of bounds, where Goff did that a couple times when he had to.
Right, and they're playing clean. I mean, I think the only turnover since September is the Montgomery fumble in Minnesota.
Minnesota, which
and
they
it
overcame.
Nearly cost them the game.
Yeah, but they overcame it. Well, that's
it's
the other thing. This team
overcomes.
Turnovers
kill you, and I really think it has hurt Goff in some of their losses since he's been here. That the pick sixes he would throw, the interceptions he threw early in this season, I believe he kind of needs to just not make a turnover, maybe not always play great, play efficiently.
Well, and he realizes that I can finish 18 of 22. Okay, that looks good, but only 145 yards. It's okay because we win, and I find Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it puts us in a 3rd-and-1 that our offensive line will convert, that it puts us even in a 4th-and-1. I don't have to force something to instantly get a first down unless there's a situation when it hasn't happened yet where it's 4th-and-5 and they're going for it in a game-winning situation. That's where the decisions change. But he is taking what is there. He is being patient, and he's doing exactly what this offense needs for them to win games.
Stat on Goff to St. Brown, they were perfect on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They're actually perfect going back to their last 30 passes thrown. 30 consecutive targets to St. Brown have resulted in catches. Sure-handed.
Yeah.
And including a big fourth down early in the game where Campbell went for it. They scored 2 touchdowns on fourth down against the Green Bay Packers. When you really zoom out in this and look at the box score of this game, Green Bay's going, we outrushed him. We outgained him. How the hell did we lose this game by double digits?
Did not execute him.
And that's the key. The Lions were exactly what they needed to be on that day. They were prepared. They were clean. They were ready for the moment. No moment is too big for this team. No adversity too great for this team.
Yeah.
This team has won 6 in a row. Now 7-1, the Detroit Lions on a victory Monday. We've got open lines, 248-539-9797.
What? Bus is warming up.
735. We'll get to the 14-3 bus.
Is warming up as we speak.
Deadline is tomorrow. Lots to talk about with this football team. You heard Jared Goff say we're chameleons. What did Dan Campbell say about playing that way in those conditions? We'll mix it in next. 97.1.
Hey, we've got some great Detroit sports moments, so why not watch them poolside? Why not watch a 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen poolside? You have that opportunity at Circa Resort and Casino where you can catch these great games, all of them, with an experience that is built for sports fans. That's Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch all of these moments because they have swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and it's one nonstop party from start to finish. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's not much of a gamble when you do that. Fourth and one, line up, easy touchdown. Sewell and Laporta with big blocks on that one. Lions win. 10-point victory on the road in the elements against Green Bay. Ticket Texter says it might be time to admit the Lions are a real team. A lot of people thought they'd go 1-2 in this stretch. Here they are, still humming, still winning.
Yeah, I mean, you break it into quarters. 3-1 in the first, 4-0. You know where that leads us.
I know, all roads lead to...
Well, you know, hey, we'll just... The bus is warming up. I think everybody knows what we're discussing.
Yeah.
The bus is warming up.
Ticket Texter says, the Lions dominated most of that game. Sure, the Packers had some nice rushing and catches.
It was cute.
But what it mattered most, the defense held them to field goals. Green Bay only scored a touchdown in the fourth. They did this with without their key defensive players, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Goff was 18 of 22 in the rain, zero interceptions. Proves to me he's a high-caliber quarterback. Go Lions. Yeah, Lions didn't have Aiden and, of course, didn't have Brian Branch. And yeah. Aaron Glenn couldn't even see out of his glasses. And it didn't matter.
I saw that picture. You know, I know they showed the graphic shortly after Brian Branch was ejected, and it was the penalties, right? Between, you know, the ones that the Lions had, I think it was two penalties for, you know, however many yards, 20 yards, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was five penalties for Green Bay. And again, however many yards. They should have put underneath that graphic, you know, because you're always trying to figure out how much does it cost the teams. Mm-hmm. And on the field, it was costing Green Bay a lot more than obviously Detroit in terms of yardage and impact. But the impact of those two penalties was you also lost Brian Branch. And this team has been able to overcome... I think the biggest loss, obviously losing Aiden Hutchinson, they're 3-0 since that. And they lost Brian Branch in the first half of that game, and guys stepped up.
So the Lions had five penalties for 51 yards. Two of them were Brian Branch on the same play.
Right.
Both the unnecessary roughness, and then they tossed him out of the game for flipping
for
everybody.
Waving to the fans.
With two fingers in particular.
We're number one.
Times two. And then there was a penalty late in the game on Robertson, right, that extended the Packers' only scoring drive. Other than that, the Lions went two penalties for the bulk of that football game, and Green Bay, meanwhile, had 10 penalties. They had missed field goals. They had botched snaps. They had dropped passes. Someone should let them know that they play outdoors. Like, well, that's their field. That's their thing. They're supposed to be ready for that.
Here's what I saw. And this goes to Jordan Love with the pick six. Horrible pick six.
Terrible.
You mentioned it. It's a Will Levis-esque pick six. But then even the ones that weren't picked off, he was running to the sidelines at one point and tried to make something happen. Ball slips out of his hands, bounces around. It falls harmlessly out of bounds, but could have been picked off by a defensive lineman. That, to me, the penalties and Jordan Love forcing the issue and ultimately throwing turnovers or putting the ball at risk, Green Bay was certainly the team that was feeling the pressure.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it says a lot about the Lions. I mean, we talked about it Friday. I was nervous. People have alluded to it on the ticket text.
Oh, yeah.
Dave and Donna saying, are you making sure to wipe that egg off your face, cookies?
Oh, how about in the afternoon? They were trying to crucify me. How dare Jansen think that they could go 7-1? They're going to lose at some point, right? Why would you think that they would just keep that bus rolling and go into Appleton, Wisconsin, and get a win? Just walk in there and walk out with a win. How dare he say that?
I think the reason me and John were so optimistic about this team is we saw very few flaws. And if they realize their potential, this is what you would get. And they have something very unique that is hard to accomplish, I think, in pro sports, is they're such a team. It's all, this thing is so put together, the glue, that when you see a guy like Amik Robertson get the personal foul yesterday, they're giving it to him. I mean, I saw Aaron Glenn give it to him earlier in the game when he was kind of getting involved in something, and Jack Campbell pulled him away, and then he still went and got the penalty either. And there was an assistant coach giving it to him yesterday on the sideline while Green Bay was scoring that touchdown. That we don't do that.
Yeah.
That this team has such a special quality. I almost told my boys yesterday that enjoy this, because if this team's putting together a window of dominance, you know, a dynasty, dare I say, or something like that, the unique time it's happening, the first time it's happening, it'll never get this good. Because I do think this is going to be hard to keep this way. For right now, it's working. Other teams don't have this.
You know,
they don't have this special it factor going on where it's just so glued together from the ownership to the 53rd person that's on the field.
You know what it is? For my life, and for you guys all listening, it's the same thing with you too. The Brian Branch thing would have cost him the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my lifetime, Brian Branch giving him a freebie, getting himself tossed from the game, and we can discuss whether he should have been coming up at 6:35. But that would have sunk so many of the Lions teams of my life. Yeah. And for this team, it's a blip. It's a nothing. We'll spend a few minutes on it, and the rest of the thing is a coronation because they're the kings of the North, and it does not matter the conditions they play in or the adversity they face. They just freaking win.
And by the way, their number two receiver's been out the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, there's that whole thing, too. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning, Heather.
Well, early voting has come to an end, so if you haven't voted yet, Tuesday, November 5th is your day. Make sure to get out and vote. On Saturday, 145,955 Michiganders voted early in person, and on that same day, we surpassed 1 million in-person early votes, which is pretty cool. So according to state numbers, about 41% of registered voters in Michigan have cast their votes either by absentee or early voting.
Heather, did you get to vote?
I did. We went out on Saturday, and the place for early voting was different than where I would vote
on
Tuesday.
Sure, same here, yeah.
But it was at a park, so it was perfect. We took the kids with us, voted, and then they got to go play on the park, and there was a lot of people there that were doing the same thing. It was actually a really nice day, so
yeah,
it was perfect.
I went yesterday morning. Voting on a Sunday. It was bizarre, but Jim, you've already said that you've
voted early too. Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, no, it was nice to be able to do it. Yeah, no pressure. Sat there as long as I needed, and it was easy.
Yep, for sure. Four people were killed and 17 others were injured in this massive pileup along I-96 in Ingham County on Saturday night. It was right around 11:40 p.m. This semi truck with a trailer either just failed to see that traffic was backing up and was stopping, or couldn't stop his truck in time and just kind of slammed into multiple vehicles. And the impact then caused the truck and other cars to catch fire. And the images of the crash were just pretty wild to see. These flames. Of the four people killed, three people were traveling in the same car, all related, all from Lansing. The fourth victim was a 29-year-old man from Carson City. The rest of the people were rushed to several different hospitals in serious condition. Jason Kelce made his first ever trip to Penn State on Saturday. You know, he was excited to take in the Penn State-Ohio State game, but the experience might have been a little different than he imagined. So while he was walking outside of the stadium, this was before the game went down, it looked like a college-aged fan walked up to him, kind of shoved his phone in his face and then called his brother Travis a homophobic slur for dating Taylor Swift. It doesn't make any sense. No. Well, Jason responded. He turned around, grabbed the guy's phone, and just smashed it onto the ground.
I bet that felt really good.
It did. And the, I'm guessing it did.
Yes.
When the fan asked for his phone back, Jason did call the fan the same slur.
He said he repeated
return,
it back to him, which...
Yeah, which maybe wasn't the best look, right? Maybe should have just refrained from doing that, but we understand that he was, you know, clearly enraged, right? So, there you have that.
And to John's point, it doesn't even make sense. His brother is dating a woman. Not that the... Anyway. Yep. Ridiculous.
It doesn't make any sense. Did you see what Amon-Ra St. Brown was wearing before the game?
Yes.
Yeah. He had some fighting words throughout a little bit of, you know, was taunting the Packers pregame. He was wearing this sweatshirt that just said, Green Bay sucks. That's all it said on it. But it also said... Green Bay was all one word. Either way, it doesn't matter. He got the point across. Just a little taunt before the game, and
He has a little bit of a relationship now with Green Bay. Remember last year, he was blowing kisses to the fans, and the best part is he backs it up because he caught a touchdown to start the game. Like, hey, I'm not just going to do that pregame. I'm going to do it in game too. I love the edge that he has brought to this rivalry.
Mm-hmm. It was lots of fun. So daylight saving time ended yesterday, and if you're feeling it now, you're not alone, because apparently 69% of Americans say that changing the clock messes with their mood, their energy levels, and their ability to focus. And they say the older you are, the more likely you are to agree. So 83% of boomers say that they are feeling this time change, compared to 54% of Gen Zers. And parents, they're saying their kids are feeling it too. I don't know about you. I'm looking at the baby monitors right now.
Yeah.
Both of my children are wide awake, which is not normal. You know, they're
For kids under the age of 5, I get that, right? Schedule all matters, and it's harder for them to adjust. If you're over the age of 5, I don't get it, especially for the fall back. Like, you get an extra hour of sleep. But, it's not like you lose an hour. This makes no sense to me.
I feel great today.
Just complaining to complain.
I feel refreshed. Right?
Yeah.
I feel great, without a doubt. So
it's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, the Lions are that team. Mm-hmm. Remember when Aaron Rodgers said that a couple years ago?
Oh yeah.
How about some perspective on that team? That team
that
just keeps winning no matter the adversity, no matter the moment. And we do need to get into the Brian Branch play. I know you have thoughts, John. We'll get the phone calls involved. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. It's all-day IPA, and here is what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All-day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All-Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether it's at home, at the tailgate, in the stadium. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All-Day IPA. All-Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
That team.
Oh, said against that team.
Said by Aaron Rodgers almost 2 years ago to the day. I want to talk about that team this morning on a Lions Victory Monday. See, the Lions, you may remember, November 6th of 2022, beat the Green Bay Packers. Kind of an ugly game. The Lions were 1-6 at the time. And Aaron Rodgers said what you just heard. Can't lose to that team. Well, that team, counting that day, has gone 29-9.
And I believe 5-6 against the Pack since then, correct?
That sounds right to me, with the exception being Thanksgiving a year ago. 29-9. They finished that season 8-2, went 14-6 the next year, counting the playoffs, and the Lions are 7-1 this year. I know we don't like to do math on the radio, but that is 29-9. the Lions officially are that team. That team that nobody wants to play. That team where it doesn't matter if it's raining. That team where it doesn't matter if Aiden Hutchinson goes down. Doesn't matter if J-Mo's suspended. Doesn't matter that it's outdoors. Doesn't matter. The Lions are that team that finds a way to win. Aaron, thank you so much. You're right. You did lose to that team, and nobody wants to play that team anymore.
I don't know where the inflection point was of where the franchise, obviously 1-6 to start that season. And at some point, and I don't know if it was just that second win that year to break that 1-6, run that they were on. At some point, there's an inflection point where it changed the course of this franchise to a winning franchise. As you mentioned, 29-9 since that moment, since the Aaron Rodgers moment.
Counting that game, yes.
But there's so many things that you could look to during that season that should have pointed to believing at that time where this team is now. And obviously the easy answer is Dan Campbell. It could just be the motivation of being a 1-6 team and still having guys like Aaron Rodgers disrespect your franchise, your team. And you hadn't earned a lot of respect at that point.
No, none really, but
You went on this path, this journey of continuing to play good football. Not perfect. And if you look at, last year against Baltimore, terrible game. You're going to have moments like that in a 17-game season. It doesn't define who you are as a franchise. But when you put together 38 games, 29-9, now you look at the big picture, and that defines who you are as a franchise.
Jared Goff that day only threw for 137 yards. Lions found a way to win. Kirby Joseph had not one, but two interceptions on that day nearly 2 years ago.
Yep.
Helping the Lions pick up a win. And Kirby Joseph had the big pick six yesterday.
The last guy to start his career like Kirby Joseph. How many does he have at this point in his career?
Is this the Ed Reed stat?
Yeah.
Okay, let me give people the Ed Reed stat. Because when I saw this, and there's a lot that comes out after the game, the Lions put out all these, like, first time since,
Greg, you have a problem with this?
No, I'm just going to guess that the answer to the trivia question you're going to say is going to be Ed Reed.
Right, yeah. that's fine. Yeah, it's okay. Oh, so we spoiled the answer.
The stat is the story. Since 2000, only Hall of Famer Ed Reed, yeah, I've heard of him, has had more interceptions among safeties in their first 40 career football games. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good company. And Kirby Joseph now has 6 interceptions on the season. It's tied for the most in the NFL. He has, again, 14 in his NFL career, tied for the most since he entered the league in 2022.
And, when you have stats like that, there's going to be ups and downs. Like last year, not his best season in a very, very early start to his career.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're thinking, okay, his rookie season, was that real? Was that really Kirby Joseph, who had picked off Aaron Rodgers, three times? And
picks can come in bunches, so you wonder, is it indicative of that he's going to do this forever? Or is it just, hey, he's in a hot stretch? No, this is carried now into his third season.
Right. At some point, you got to believe that he's just a ball hawk.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that understands, studies, and is right place, right time. And yeah, one time it's a fluke. Maybe there's a tip. There's going to be some of those throughout your career. Other times, you're just studying enough, and you're putting yourself in a position, and you're just good enough to be able to make those interceptions.
He stepped up when his counterpart got tossed. Right. Yeah. You lose one guy who's having an all-pro season at safety. The other guy who may also end up as an all-pro, they're the best safety tandem in football, steps up with a pick six, Kirby Joseph. 248-539-9797. Let's talk Brian Branch here, because we were texting during that moment in the game.
Yeah.
Brian Branch, no one's disputing that he was penalized for coming in with the helmet to helmet, unnecessary roughness, deserved a 15 yards. But even Tom Brady on the broadcast goes, I don't think he can eject this guy over that. Is that where you stand on it, John?
100%. And I've been very consistent on this. This is exactly what I text you guys. Very consistent on this, whether it's in the college game or the pro game. I'm fine if you want to make that a penalty. And I think it's very hard I think it was obvious what Brian Branch did yesterday was a penalty. Could he have pulled off? Sure. But it's a 15-yard personal foul. I disagree with the ejection. Now, in college football, it's reviewed as it is in the NFL, and you're ejected. Now, fortunately, in the NFL, it doesn't carry over into the next game.
Right.
And it would in this case because it happened in the first half. But in the college game, it even if it happens in the second half, it carries over to the next game. That, to me, is insanity. If you want to say, okay, the first one, it's a personal foul. Second one, you're ejected. You get yourself a mulligan. You get yourself a warning. You know, all of those things. And then there's an ejection. I hate it. And I know that there was one in the Michigan game, and I said it in that moment, where it was somebody from Oregon that hit a Michigan receiver or running back in, you know, and it was it appeared to be helmet to helmet. I don't want anybody ejected from the game on a first helmet-to-helmet contact. I get the penalty.
I get why the rule exists. It's player safety. Concussions are no joke. We all know this, and we all know that Brian Branch should have been penalized for the hit.
Here's the other part that just is, it's so maddening. Okay, that is reviewed in New York. The studio is in New York, and all of a sudden they come back and say, Brian Branch's got to go. Like, that's, it's obscene what he did. And then you watch the Buffalo game.
Early in the day.
And there's a hit on Keon Coleman.
Yeah, it's Poyer that comes in.
And that one, to me, was much more violent, much more helmet-to-helmet. And even when you watch it in replay, Keon Coleman's head whips back. It was, to me, more obvious. Yet he's not kicked out.
Or how about Chris Olave, who gets decapitated over the middle.
Right.
Leaves the game on a stretcher. No one got tossed for that. Like, it's the inconsistency. Like, yeah. John, we're familiar with it in college. And when the play happened, I'm watching with my wife, and she goes, what's going to happen? I go, well, if this was college, they would toss him, but it's just a penalty. Right. And then we sit back and watch him get tossed, and I go, this never happens.
Yeah. What is going on?
This never happens. And their point was he could have pulled off.
Yeah.
He had time, a step or two, to where he could have avoided making that play. And I get they don't want that play in football, but it felt very inconsistent to toss him in a big game like that.
So how do you take inconsistencies out, or you minimize inconsistencies? It is, you remove judgment. I'm not going to sit there at a studio in New York and judge whether it's intent or not intent, and intent is not supposed to play a part of this. But how do I look at one hit and then I look at another one that is almost exactly the same, and I kick one guy out, but I don't kick the other guy out? Or you look at three of them. That's where you have judgment being part of the call, and you remove it by saying, okay, the first one is a 15-yarder. The second one, you're gone. And if you want to make it more, the impact more, then the impact comes with the fine that follows the second one that follows the injection.
Yeah. Dan Campbell spoke about this, didn't he? I don't know if we have the audio on that, but we do have the audio on that. Okay, he spoke about this ejection and what he saw on the play.
So he nailed it.
The primetime thing, it's not supposed to work that way.
The country's watching.
Got to make an example
just
of them.
A regional game.
Sure.
All right, I'm about ready to get crucified here. I hear what I'm saying. I don't agree with how this was handled across the board in terms of the way I think football should be played. However, he opened up the subjective window, the way he did it, the way he lunged, the helmet, the two steps. If two steps is completing the process of a catch and a full play, then I think he had enough time to probably adjust. I thought the Green Bay receiver maybe came down into his helmet a little bit. I'm not defending what happened, what Branch did. And that's why I think I agree with what Campbell said. I completely agree with Dan Campbell said. Campbell didn't throw a fit on the sideline. He did. He doesn't throw fits normally, but he has thrown a fit before in Dallas. I think Dan Campbell understood the situation. Maybe some of it was that it wasn't the end of the game. You know, he knew his team had to continue to play football and that it was a really big thing. But I just feel in the end, Brian Branch needs to know better not to do that. I do think there were more egregious hits yesterday. The whole country's watching. The NFL knows that. The refs on the field didn't call it. The NFL came in and decided to eject him.
Well, I think that's a different level of frustration, too. If the official's on the field, whose primary job is to make that decision, decide 15 yards but no ejection, only to be told, no, 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 you got to make an example of this guy. I think everybody's upset about that, and rightfully so. 248-539-9797. Lions fans, we want your thoughts. We've got overreactions at 7:02. It's 97.1.
Hey, why not cap off NFL Week 9 with a chance to win on FanDuel? It's America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's Monday night game, and the matchup is between the Bucs and the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, over 1.5 passing yards as a sample same-game parlay. Again, Patrick Mahomes, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Travis Kelce, over receiving yards. Kate Otten, anytime touchdown. It's one that you could choose from. You could build your own. There's more to choose from. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this NFL season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know what we say to that? Ball don't lie. Ball don't lie. Ticket texters echoing that point. Muhammad in Shelby Township says, following the ejection, I yelled at my TV. Ball don't lie. Says, would that play have been flagged if the receiver caught the ball? So a lot of people reacting to the Brian Branch stuff today. Big win for Detroit overall. 248-539-9797.
I think it would have been flagged.
Yes.
I don't know if the ejection would have happened.
Again, helmet to helmet. They thought he was headhunting. You're going to get flagged. We're all aware of that. That's how football's officiated. The ejection caught me off guard. It caught you off guard. If anybody watched football earlier in the day or in the last, I don't know, couple years, we don't often see players get ejected. And it's a big game in a big spot. Now, Campbell argued that's why.
Yeah.
Because it was prime time and he insinuated, you know, you're making an example of a guy on prime time. That's what the league was doing.
I wonder
there.
If one of them had their guardian caps on. If we can't do it with the guardian caps on because they must help.
Texter says, they can toss our version of Brian Dawkins, but we still have our version of Ed Reed, Kirby Joseph, pick six.
Love it.
Let's get to Dan and Taylor. Dan, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Three quick comments, and then I'll hang up so you guys can respond to it.
All right.
Because I listen to you guys every day, so I want to call every day, but I know I can't. Congratulations to the Bad News Tigers this year. I gave a standing ovation after they unfortunately lost that game because of the way it happened. Our ace pitcher gave up a, you know, grand slam. It's just, that was okay. I thought they did great. They brought me back. And on the Lions, the J-Mo, I don't know who J-Mo, where he came from, what college. I follow football. I've been watching for 45 years. I just don't know where he
Alabama.
Was at. But I've been hearing about all the hype all summer long about this guy. And after he scored the first touchdown, that all he did was he celebrated like he won the Super Bowl. I'm like, who is this guy? What is he doing? And at that moment, I had this gut feeling of a character problem with this guy. And I don't know anything about him. I just, by the way, he's been acting and reacting. And for some reason, I lost my train of thought.
So do you not like the celebrations that you are now able to see? And did you not like the Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm going to copy a college kid and stand on my head?
I understand all that. I was just that guy in particular. I'm just saying the way he did it, the way it went down, and now I'm starting to see all the other stuff. I think a lot of this team, a lot of the guys are very humble. If you watch them in the locker room when they're celebrating, they just seem very humble and very together, and they love their coach. And I don't know. I just think he's a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. But that's on him. You guys, I've been, like I said, 45 years. I really believe this team is 100% probably maybe the best team that's ever played 1 year. If they had Aiden on that side, it would be even better. But I just believe the coaches are phenomenal. Everybody loves our coach. He takes chances. They're tackling now. The Lions never could tackle.
Right.
They tackle them now. They score in the red zone. All right, I got one
Dan, you know what it is? They don't beat themselves.
Yeah, everybody loves him now because they're winning. And because of who he is, how relatable he is, his energy, but I mean, go back to 3-13-1. not a lot of people love Dan Campbell. They believe that he could be good, but they love him now.
Well, I thought he was likable from the jump.
Sure, he's likable.
I thought people wanted
it to win.
Right. People wanted it to work.
Yeah.
And he was 1-6. And people, I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, 1-6 is a really tough spot. Year two,
yeah.
You're going to have to round the season out much better than you started. And to their credit, 8-2 is a hell of a finish. To the ownership's credit, they didn't blink when they were 1-6. And to this team's credit, when he looked at this team in that Hard Knocks moment and said, all I think about is you guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through this physical camp, more physical than most teams in the league do, because I want you to be ready for the second half of the season. And they were ready. And since that 1-6 start, they're 29-9 with 2 playoff wins, a division title, and the best is yet to come. So not only is he likable, he's a winner. Yeah. And that's untouchable status.
Oh, yeah. I mean, start the statue. Like, that's where this is all heading. Now, it's not there yet.
Not there yet.
But this is where it's heading, because he has taken a franchise that for 60 years has been mired in can't get out of their own way and just stupid thing after stupid thing. And now all of a sudden, it's all clicking. It's all coming up aces.
Craig on a cell, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So two quick things. I'm very happy with the win, but it still kind of shows the defensive pressure that we need to get, and I'm kind of upset that we haven't gotten anybody yet. Love had a lot of time to throw the ball.
Yep.
And we got very lucky with the weather that there were 6 or 7 drop balls. One of them probably would have been a touchdown if it wasn't for the weather. So I really think we need to get this person today and get this team ready for the second half and win this Super Bowl that we've all been waiting for. And then the other thing is, you know, the hit with Branch, kind of what upsets me more is, you know, the bonus coverage right after the Lions was the Rams in Seattle, and Jackson Smith and Digna got smoked twice, back-to-back plays, one on the sideline, one on the back of the end zone, and there was no flag at all. So it's just
inconsistency.
Yeah. And, if it's prime time, you know, it's like Michigan State, you know, it's going to be a rivalry game. We know it's going to be heated. Take the emotion out and just look at the play. If it was a personal foul, okay, but you have to make the call and say, you know what, let's get him out and let's take control of the game.
Yeah, I had the same thought. Yeah, I think flag him, but don't toss him. I think that's kind of the way it typically is officiated. And when you raise to that next level, you're trying to make an example of him, and it's a really big game. To the Lions' credit, though, think about it. They didn't have 5 or 6 drops. They didn't let one ejection to a critical defensive player on top of missing Aiden Hutchinson cost them that football game.
I also don't want to gloss over what he said. Yes, the Lions need help at putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. For the last 3 weeks, quarterbacks have been able to sit back there, have a cup of coffee, and decide where they would like to distribute the ball. Now, to the Lions' credit, the secondary is damn good.
Yeah.
And so they've been able to withstand the last 3 weeks, come away with wins in the last 3 weeks. But yes, they need to make something happen. And It doesn't have to happen today. It just simply has to happen before 4 o'clock tomorrow.
And we could bring up the report Sunday, Pro Football Talk, Za'Darius Smith, Lions, any day now is what was reported. Not done yet, but a deal getting close.
We have to actually go away from the day comment at any moment now.
Yeah, literally could be
days. We got, about 36 hours?
Yeah, I mean, it could be in Filar's update here. I don't know. Yep. We have overreactions coming up.
Breaking news, Chris?
I got nothing. Damn it.
Come on. Nice sell.
7:02, we have Overreact Gyms. 7:18, you'll
hear...
Or
do I?
Oh, well, hey, stay tuned.
No, I don't.
That and more. We'll play Dan Campbell locker room audio at 7:18. Busy show, Lions Victory Monday. It's 97.1.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.